Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet land. This is John Stanko, your host. It is great to be back. And today we're going to talk with someone who is a woman of purpose. She is an international speaker, a teacher, and an author, and it has been an honor for my publishing company, Urban Press, to work with her on several projects now. So I thought it would be really great to have her come on and talk to us a little bit about her project and her purpose and anything else that may come up. So Ellen Byam, welcome to Your Purpose Quest today.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And how are you up in the Northlands of Pennsylvania? Are you staying warm?
I am staying warm. I turned on my fireplace to get in here to do this interview.
Very good. Well, we're warm everybody up by the content of what we're going to talk about. Ellen, I've known you for a number of years now. We met through the a graduate degree program in, through Geneva College. But tell our listeners a little bit about Ellen Byam, who you are, what you do, and then we'll transition into your role and purpose as a writer.
Well, currently I work a day job at Crawford Christian Academy in Meadville, Pennsylvania, and that supports my purpose passion job, I guess you could say, of being the chief executive officer of Beautiful Balance Inspirations. And that nonprofit was founded by my family, my daughters and I especially, after we took my youngest daughter back to India. She was adopted many years ago, and we took her back during her senior year of high school for a heritage trip and a mission trip as well. I arranged for my family to serve in the slums of Delhi and in Chennai, my daughter's birth city. So that really affected my girls, just to see a big difference in culture. We went back after my Beautiful Balance, my first book had released in 2018. So when we were trying to come up with a name for the nonprofit, the girls just said, let's just call it Beautiful Balance Inspirations because your book is inspiring us to do something more. So that's mm-hmm. how the name came about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've done work in other countries besides India, haven't you?
Yes, we are. What we chose to focus on after we founded Beautiful Balance Inspirations, we wanted to focus on education, microfinance, and healthcare in some of the poorest places. So, of course, I stayed connected with our partnerships in India. We are partnered with Unnati Kira in the North India in Delhi, and then also in Tirunelveli, which is in the very, very southern part of India. In the Tamil-speaking region. So we have been partnered with St. John's School for, almost 30 years. My family and I have been partnered with them for quite a long time. And then we added, we went to Delhi on insistence of my partnership from South India. They said, you know, we have a place up in Delhi where they're really doing a lot of work in the slums. So that's when we went back for the heritage trip, we went to Chennai to my daughter's original orphanage. And then we went to Delhi and did our work in the slums with my friend Stella Ronnie, who runs that. And we also work in, we have a center that we're connected with in Romania, Galați, Romania, which is in the far eastern side of Romania. They're literally 20 miles from some of the fighting with Ukraine. They have been safe, but they are housing now about 30 Ukrainian refugees at the education center that we support. They had to take a big shift. You know, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. There's a war right next door, and they have 30 refugees now that they're housing, along with their boys and girls home and day school that they have there in Romania. And then in Africa, we are connected with Beulah Mission Center in Liberia, Africa. And that's about 12 miles outside of the capital of Monrovia. And it's in the bush. So it's truly the only educational place around for families. And it is also a school from pre-K to 12th grade. Romania has students from pre-K to 12th grade, and India is a tutoring center that is working with kids that are already registered in public school or not in school at all. And so they're mostly doing education, but occasionally they have to do healthcare projects just for the health of their people that they're caring for and the children. So, yeah, those are some of the things that we're involved in with Beautiful Balance Inspirations.
Well, thank you for your service. And now we're going to get into your latest book, but you did mention your first project, which I'm holding in my hand, Beautiful Balance, Spirit, Mind, Body. Tell our listeners a little bit about that project.
That first book was a challenge by you, John, to pull together a bigger Christian book project. I have been a devotional writer for many years, and I have my own style of writing devotions. I don't necessarily follow the larger devotional
traditionally done
platforms that are traditionally set out there. And that's okay. I have my own unique voice on writing my devotionals. I really let the Holy Spirit lead me as to, you know, what I'm going to present to those people that are reading what I am writing. I don't necessarily follow, you know, like a set platform of some of the other well-known things like Guidepost or The Upper Room or The Daily Bread. I'm sure those are familiar with some of the listeners. I don't exactly follow that style when I'm writing a devotional. And so Beautiful Balance came about as really a personal challenge from you when I was finishing up my master's program in organizational leadership to pull together a little bit deeper material from my writing. And I did. Mm-hmm. It was more of a challenge, I have to say. It was to go outside of my comfort zone of writing devotional material was a personal challenge. But it was a work that really touched a lot more people than I had ever anticipated. And it made me feel compelled to really pull together this current work. The Time Is Near is a devotional work of my heart. So it came more naturally to pull that together, but I really put a lot of intense time into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did. And we're going to get into that in a minute. Just let me ask you, how did writing emerge? I mean, you said you've been writing devotional material for years. For somebody listening and, you know, they've got a spark in them of creativity or they've thought about writing, but, you know, it can be so daunting for some people. Talk a little bit about your journey, even to become a devotional writer. And I know you've done, you know, things online, but just talk about the growing awareness in your own life of being creative and specifically being a writer.
Yeah, I originally started out, I was the mission director at a local church where we were members, and I originally started out writing devotionals and encouraging material to send out to all of the missionaries that our church supported. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I really enjoyed writing. My background is in chemistry and biology. I have a pre-med degree. And yeah, I could write a mean lab report when I was in college, mm-hmm. and I was actually paid for that. So I did do that on the side when I was in school, put together. So, I mean, I guess I always had some interest in writing, but never pursued, you know, like fictional writing. I'm actually part of a pen writers group right here in Meadville, the Meadville area pen writers. And my group is awesome. They are truly all fictional writers in my group, but they really pulled me in and have just helped me learn a lot more about the writing craft. And it's actually helped me become a better devotional writer. To see the different aspects of writing, even through fictional writing and storytelling. So back in the day, I think I always kept a journal as a child, and it grew. I have a journal probably from I was pretty young, maybe seven. Then I have journals filling my house, my poor family. Because I still prefer writing, actually writing with a pen and paper, a pen on my journal, and a lot of times I will write, you know, by hand first before I do any of my recording of anything on the computer. I mean, obviously, we live in the technology age, and so then that grew from writing to the missionaries, and then when Facebook kicked off, I started taking some of those same encouraging things that I was writing to the missionaries, and I just started posting them on Facebook. And then I realized how encouraging it was for people, that my writing actually did touch people and gave them some kind of encouragement or whatever they needed for the day, just pointing them to Christ in a unique way. And so I just kept at it. And then I joined the pen writers group to learn how to hone my craft a little more, put myself under the spotlight with people who are willing to critique my work and give me feedback, which I appreciate.
Yeah. The way to get to be a better writer is to write. there's no way around that, you know. And the more you do it, the more confident you are, the less fear you have. And but you know, speaking of fear, you're a pretty fearless writer, because this latest project, you didn't choose one of the Gospels, you didn't choose an epistle. You went right for the jugular. You went right for the big enchilada, and you went to the Book of Revelation. So I'm holding in my hand the Time Is Near, Preparing for the Return of the Lord. For us in Urban Press, it was our first four-color project throughout, not just the cover, but throughout the book itself. But talk to us about The Time Is Near, and share with us, you know, how you came to the point of wanting to write about this, and then we'll get into the specifics of the book, how it's laid out, and what the reader can expect. But talk to us about The Time Is Near.
I started writing devotionals through the Book of Revelation back. This project goes back a couple of years, folks. Just so you know, sometimes when you're writing something, it takes a while before it will ever come to publication, if it ever does. And I felt compelled. It was during 2020. COVID was going on. People had a lot of panic in their voices. You know, over a lot of things with all of this crazy stuff that was happening. And I just thought to myself, well, you know what? I think it's just time to sit down and really, my devotional style is to pick a book of the scriptures, a whole book of the Bible, and I generally read through that several times, and then I take my time with the Holy Spirit and go verse by verse even, or section by section in a chapter, and just write what the Lord puts on my heart So I said, you know what, I'm going to go through Revelation. There was just a lot of panic in people's voices. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go to the end, the end of the story here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tackle this tough book that people seem to want to avoid reading, the book of Revelation. They avoid talking about it. I really haven't heard a whole lot of preaching on it. However, when I was halfway through the book of Revelation, writing my devotionals and really, really getting a lot of insight from the Lord and pulling together some awesome devotionals, my pastor at the time, believe it or not, preached through Revelation. About 4 months after I began my project, he actually tackled the book of Revelation for our church family and preached through it. So it really
a confirmation,
was
affirming.
Yeah, it was very affirming, and it was really just an amazing piece that God pulled together. And when it got time to think about publishing another book, my son, who is a pastor, he knew that I had this material together from Revelation, and also I had finished this will be my next project, everybody, for the four epistles of Paul. So I actually had that material together as well. And I said, you know, guys, I said to my family, which project should I push forward? And hands down, everybody in my whole family just said, Mom, you should do the Revelation. Nobody ever wants to do that. And no one ever, they don't know anyone who has ever done a set of devotionals through Revelation. So I said, okay, that's it. I'm going to do it. So I pulled all my material together and I gave you a call and said, let's do this.
Yeah, yeah. So talk to us about the format. I think you have a set number of days and a definite, although you don't follow the format that many others do, you have your own format. So talk to us about someone who purchases The Time Is Near. What can they expect? What is going to be required of them as they go through the book?
Sure. Every time that I pull together something, when I get to the point where I want to pull together something and have it published, I really want it to be a piece that will not only cause you or have you read through the book of Revelation as you are doing this devotional. It is a 70 days, and I never have a set number of days when I have a devotional set that I'm working on. I take that book of the Bible, whatever it may be that God has given me, put on my heart, and I just continue studying and writing devotionals until I finish. Mm-hmm. It just so happened that 70 days is the number of days that went by for my devotional pieces that the Lord gave me. So you will travel through the book of Revelation in approximately 70 days. It may take you a little longer because on each daily entry, I actually have some reflection time. My style is, I wouldn't call it similar to some of these other devotional platforms that are out there. My style is to have you read the scripture. I want you to reflect on that scripture. I may add a couple other verses that have come to mind. Throughout this one particularly, I do put down for reflection time, I actually suggest listening to certain artists and certain songs, music. I really want you to have a time of Bible study. It's more than just a devotional. You can make this into a time of study through the book of Revelation, but generally I have my reflection questions and things at the end to carry you on for approximately 15 minutes to a half an hour of your study time in God's Word. And you can spend more time, obviously, but it just, you know, it depends on the day. Some days have a little bit more in the reflection time, a little bit more challenge for you. but you can really make this into a study. And so far, that's what's happening. I kicked it off with a Zoom meeting every week on Wednesday. We started on Lent, and I have several people are joining in. They are doing the devotional, and then we're having discussion time about how did our week go? What did the Lord really speak to people on certain days, and what section of Revelation really hit them for this past week? So we are actually, that's currently running right now, and I've been invited to do another study, walk through the book with another group of ladies right after Easter. So I'll be doing that live. Nice. Like a Sunday school class. And then I have a group of young ladies from our high school, from Crawford Christian Academy. They are going to be starting their small group with the book. And they are going to go through the book of Revelation. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's so important, you know, as authors today. We have to some extent, create our own market, I mean, by injecting ourselves into the process. Leading, teaching, and using technology, using face-to-face. And so one of the things that our readers need to be aware of is you just didn't write. You injected an extra portion of yourself, an added benefit through the graphics. Talk to us about what we can expect graphically when we purchase and go through this book.
Yeah, this is a book that is full color. I will tell all of you listeners, this is a huge part of myself. I love to design graphic arts, just simple, on a simple program, you know, on the computer. But what really came to my mind several years ago during my devotional writing is how visual everyone is, of course, on social media. They just, you know, visual is a big thing for a lot of people. And I just said, you know what, I can start taking some of what the Lord gives me, and I'm going to put that into some graphic arts. So throughout the whole entire book, really all of my devotional writing is now connected with a daily visual. I will choose a focus verse. Or just even a focused thought. Sometimes it's not a verse. Sometimes it is just my own quote that I pull together on those graphics. And it's just a visual that you have for the day as you're going through that devotional. And it really does connect you to that one focused verse that I wanted to pull out of that section for the day. So that is a big part of my heart. And even just working with your son and creating the cover design, just so much of this book is what I do every day. I just pull together, you know, God's word, and then not only just in writing, but also I pulled together the visuals, and I call them my quote posts. I'm really excited to present a full color devotional to people. I don't think I've ever seen anybody do it, but I'm out there now. I've definitely pulled it together.
Yeah, you are. And, you know, the day, and, you know, I had seen the proof. We always do a proof before we publish. But, boy, when it arrived in the mail, I told my wife, this is one very nice project. I mean, it has a great feel to it. It's very readable, and it's aesthetically pleasing. Like you said, you involved not just our intellect with reading and processing the material, but it's just so colorful. But it's with purpose. It all contributes to the project, and I just want to congratulate you on a job well done. And I know you put a lot of yourself into this, but there's more. In addition to The Time Is Near, I think you did a companion project that you hope people will also utilize at the same time. Talk to us about that.
I really wanted to design a journal that went along with this devotional. I am a journaler. That is how I started with writing. For those of you listening, that's a great place to start. If you have a desire in your heart at all to journal, that is a great place to start with a gift of writing. And I just really wanted to pull that alongside this book because it's such a part of myself. Journaling is what, you know, launched me into getting more in depth with writing. And I just, you know, so we designed the journal. We have the graphics in the journal. We made them a little bit smaller. And we printed the journal in black and white, obviously, for, you know, the cost.
Sure.
But I definitely recommend, you know, when you get the book, definitely get the companion journal and take your notes. So far, I'm hearing a lot of good feedback. There are some friends and stuff who are not big journalers, but they love the idea of having that companion journal right with them when they're doing this devotional set.
It's a very first time we've ever done that. We've had people within their books themselves put a few lines for people to write in, and but you went the extra step. And so what you have here is a duo that is just a wonderful package. You know, has obviously devotional merit. It has aesthetic merit, and you should be very pleased with this. Now, the book is available on Amazon. The Time Is Near is the title, and The Time Is Near Journal. They're two separate projects. The book itself is $14.99. The journal itself is $4.99. So we want to send people to Amazon, or they can get in touch with you, I'm sure, through your website. Is that correct? BeautifulBalanceInspirations.org?
Yeah, they can. Mm-hmm. Another project that also, I didn't really mention this in the beginning of our interview, what we do here in the United States, because I love connecting people with their purpose, like you do, John, we chose before, it was actually before COVID actually hit, I chose to promote writing for youth. Right here in the United States, we thought, yeah, we do these centers that are in foreign lands and they're far away, and we support them and we stay connected to them and pray for them. And I said, you know, what can we do here? And I said, well, you know, since I'm writing so much, I should do something that encourages young people to, you know, get into writing. So we started a youth writing contest in 2020. We launched our first set of winners. I was discouraged actually by some of my adult writing friends. They were like, oh no, kids won't enter a contest. This won't be a big deal. So we actually just did it through the local library system. And the kids actually mailed copies of their stuff into me because we didn't have anything set up. We didn't have a website or anything. We just advertised locally. It's just a local contest for kids that live in my three local school districts. And it was a huge hit. We had over 50 kids that entered. We had 24 winners come out of there, and we have their first publication. You can see it on my website as well. And it's called I'm a Writer Inspired 2020. My second contest was done in 2022. We launched a nice website, which you can see when you're on there now. And we had 164 kids enter this time.
Wow.
In the spring of 2022. And their new book, I just got news from their publication. It's a local publisher that Page Publishing does this particular project with me. And we will be launching, you know, their book will be out. Gosh, it's called Inspired Light the Fire. We did this time around for 2022. And that book is going to be coming out any day. I'm waiting for the proof copy. And that was super fun project to see. And I'm going to tell you how this whole thing really affects people a lot more than you think. One of my young writers that won in 2020, she also won again in 2022. This young lady has some talent, I'll tell you. And she is going to college. She graduates this year, and she is going to be an English teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Totally changed her trajectory on what she thought she might want to do. And, just from getting out there and being part of my community in a different way, it really affected this young lady. And she is nice. heading to college this coming fall, and she's going to study to be an English teacher because she wants to inspire other young people to be better writers. So that is coup de grace for me.
Yeah, you've touched on something. I say it, writing is addictive, you know, and publishing too. Once you start to get feedback and you gain your confidence and you see the power in it, there's no turning back. You just do it more and more. Ellen, we want to thank you for your time. I just want to mention one more thing and we'll close. You've mentioned family a number of times in what you do, and it's apparent to me you're not writing in isolation. This is in some ways a group project. I'm sure your family has released you because this requires time and energy to do. But just talk about the importance of family in writing and your ministry and the role that it's played in where you are today.
Sure. My family in general was very encouraging. And for those of you who don't know my family, I have been married for 35 years to my high school sweetheart, and we have 6 children together, 4 boys and 2 girls, and our youngest daughter is adopted from India. We chose to do an adoption, and they are very, very supportive. They do make fun of me, though, because I love to write poetry on the side. That's like a real personal thing. And my family, honestly, my family never knew that I wrote poetry until I came back from a couple different writers' conferences, and my poems have won. my family didn't even know that I do a lot of poetry on the side for myself. And that's more of a personal development that I do with the poetry writing. But I really do love poetry. And I find it to be a wonderful expression of myself when I pull together some of my poetry work.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You were part of an anthology that I put together called The Blue Guitar. And we put it out a year ago, and it was a collection of poems and short stories from really people around the world, and you were a part of that. And
yes,
all the proceeds from that have gone towards my work in Kenya. I helped found some libraries, and I have to fully confess, full disclosure, Ellen, I took your idea of the writing project or the contest, and we did it in Kenya around Christmas time and actually offered cash prizes through the library for the young people. And as you described, it was so gratifying to see young people step forward and write, and they're already looking forward to the next contest. Thanks for the idea, and it worked, and it is working, so I appreciate it. Well, Ellen, I want to thank you for your time today. Any final thoughts, any final words on Time is Near or writing or Beautiful Balance or anything else?
I just, that is so exciting to hear, John. I have to tell you, that just grips my heart that those kids, you know, are getting excited about writing clear across in Africa. And yes, we do. I gathered sponsors here in my community, and we did offer cash prizes as well. Our kids, they're motivated because they know that they can win a nice cash prize, but they have to pull together a really decent piece of writing. And my young people have discovered that writing takes a lot of editing. And it's not just like, I'm just going to write this story today, hand it in, and I'm going to win. No, I'm going to write this story today, and I'm going to have it edited maybe 10 times before it's even ready to go off to a contest. And so I think that's the one thing I encourage my young people, and even if you're not a young person, young at heart, keep writing and have people give you feedback. Work with a writer's group. Find people that you would like to learn from and get connected to them. If someone's interested in writing, they can contact me or you, through through our website. It is very gratifying. I never thought I would be a writer or a published author. If you would have asked me that 20 years ago, I would have said, no way. I didn't have time to write. I was running around taking care of all my 6 children and running to their their sports events and everything. So no, I at that time in my life, I never would have considered that my writing was going to grow into something bigger than myself, that it was really going to be more of an outreach to many, many people.
Yeah. Well, thank you for enriching our lives by injecting yourself into the creative and publishing process. Thank you for choosing Urban Press for your projects. We look forward to a continued fruitful relationship between us. And thank you again for your time today. Keep up the good work, and let's stay in touch.
Thanks a lot, John. You have a wonderful
All
day.
Right. You too. Take care. Bye-bye. Well, there you have it, Ellen Byam, author of Beautiful Balance, Spirit, Mind, Body, her first work from 2018. Her most recent work, The Time is Near, Preparing for the Return of the Lord, in both the devotional and the journal format. All of these are available on Amazon. You can just put in Ellen's name, Byham, and or go to urbanpress.us. We have them listed there too, and you can order them through us. But Amazon is really the easiest, and or contact Ellen directly through her website, which is beautifulbalanceinspirations.org. Well, that wraps it up. Thank you again, Ellen, for your time. Thanks to you for listening. And this is John Stanko signing off for another session of Your Purpose Quest. And we'll be back again soon, maybe with another one of our stellar authors from the Urban Press stable of authors. Until we're together again, so long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.